changing of beneficiary list. After new councils comes in, they change the list, hiding of money into agencies and including municipalities. And probably the question that some of the question I will raise it with the department, what mechanism should be put in place to deal with this matter, because that's where we can then be able to get the department performing better. That is the one question that I'm having to planning and monitoring. Thank you very much. We can then have a DG planning and monitoring and AG responding. We can start with AG because you're the first presenter.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members, for the questions. There are quite a number of them. I will try through you, Chairperson, to respond to those that are related to the work that we have performed as the auditors and others. I suspect the Department of Monitoring will take care of them. And through you, Chair, if I may have my slides on or my presentation back on, so that as I attempt to answer the questions, I can also just refer to the specific slides where applicable. The first one is around the lack of controls at the department, where we raise that there's poor controls around the performance information and whether the department is responding or how is the department responding to that. So the issue at the department is really largely around how they craft their performance information. There are indicators. The department has really struggled to craft them in a manner that they can be easily measurable. And if they are not measurable, it is so much so that we are even unable to go beyond looking at the planning documents of the department. Because that lack of measurability then also affects what they report. You then find that what they report as their achievements for those specific indicators that we found not to be measurable, what they then report, the department then will then struggle to back that up with the appropriate and sufficient audit evidence for us to conclude that whatever it is that is reported as achieved, we can indeed provide assurance that it is valid, accurate, and complete. I did mention during my presentation that last year, for example, if my memory serves well, there were about 14 of these indicators where we concluded and reported on them in the audit report that they are not measurable. So in responding to that, we held a number of workshops with the department prior to the conclusion of their APPs. And most of our recommendations were then applied in most of those indicators to a point where in the current year or the current cycle, that number was reduced from 14. It's more or less 14. So I just need to confirm the exact number, but they reduced that from around 14 to about 4 indicators in the current year. So we are seeing progress. We are seeing a response. We are seeing a deliberate attempt to ensure that the indicators, all of them, in all of their programs are at least measurable, and that the department is specific in the level of achievement that it wants to achieve with the indicators and targets. There was also a question around the indicator on Zenzeleni. It is a similar issue, Chairperson, in that management could not provide us with supporting evidence to support their achievement. So they would have said in their annual report that they would have implemented this program, this Zenzeleni program, across all 9 provinces. And they would then indicate the initiatives that they implemented to try and demonstrate that they've implemented the program across all the provinces. However, the supporting evidence that we then were given was not sufficient for us to conclude that indeed this program is being implemented across all the provinces. As a result, we could not even adjust for it for management to then indicate exactly where it was implemented. So that's how severe the lack of sufficient information was in relation to Zenzeleni program. And the other one was around the Limpopo and why action was not taken. Maybe let me go to the sector, SR section. Sorry, Chair. Yes. All right. So the question was why has no action been taken, and also specifically what should the committee or what specific steps should the committee take to ensure that consequence management is implemented? We would not be able to be in a position to say specifically that the audit committee should, the portfolio committee should go to the Limpopo and do specific things to management when we get there. However, what we are saying is that consequences for lack of accountability, are required. And they should be implemented swiftly, bravely, and consistently. So those that provide oversight, they need to ensure that management, where it's the role of management to take decisive steps against employees, those are done. And if management fails to do so, then those that are charged with governance, they need to come in and ensure that steps are taken against management, who then takes time or is slow in decide or dealing with employees that transgress. And also what we are saying, honorable member, is that there shouldn't be delays in the disciplinary processes. And that is the recommendation that we can make based on our responsibilities as the auditors. We are seeing this, and we are reporting it to Parliament that in the human settlement portfolio, we are not seeing swift disciplinary processes being implemented in instances where investigations have found misdemeanors or transgressions by employees. So we urge Parliament and those that are charged with government to ensure that these entities they indeed address these delays in disciplinary processes, and that is generally across all the entities. So not just in Limpopo or honourable member. So in all the entities where we've highlighted that. This consequence management is not being implemented urgently enough. I really struggled to hear the member. I think it's Honorable Member Masuta that asked a number of questions, but I'll try, because I really increased my volume all the way up. And for those that perhaps I may have missed, I'd like to apologize in advance, Chairperson. The first question was around the tenders not being advertised in the National Treasury or tender portal. Generally, honorable member, we would not have raised a finding or findings across all the entities where we said there were issues around the tender portal. So none of the entities which we ended up raising issues on supply chain management did we raise one around the tender portal. But there is one at HTA where we've said that the bids were not advertised for 21 days. So that advertisement is not specifically to the tender portal. So even in the other media, the requirement is that you advertise for 21 days, not necessarily in the portal. So the issue that is raised there is that even with other media, the bids would not be advertised for the 21 days required. The point on the PAA, I'll let Corneille assist with that. And then with the title deeds, the involvement of the Department of Rural Development, I think management can also maybe respond to that later in terms of any coordination between the Human Settlements Department and that specific department. However, there was a point where the member asked if the findings that we raised around the performance on the title deeds, does the Human Settlement Department have the competency to register the title deeds? So our work is purely based on what the department has included in their planning documents, as well as their performance documents. So in our case, we then report on what we see as included in the report. So it would be the department itself and the sector as a whole that would have, through their planning processes, would have felt that they need to, as well as the MTSF, that says the Department of Human Settlements needs to ensure that title deeds are registered. So the reporting may not necessarily be talking to the processes at the title deeds the entity that registers, but it is the processes that the sector undertakes to ensure that those title deeds are registered. So that's where the issues are. It's the processes that the sector intends or plans to have in place to ensure that title deeds are registered and given to beneficiaries. It is in those processes that we find that, or we see that the sector falls short. So it may not be at the deeds register itself where the bottlenecks
are. Recording stopped.
Okay. So that's the title deeds. And then the last comment from the honorable member was around the poor performance reported as a whole, which when I couldn't hear him after that, when he said it was just a comment, but hopefully my colleagues would have heard if there was a subsequent question around that. And the question around the indicators that the department did not perform well, and also has there been an improvement in consequence management? So the honorable member asked if the indicators, there are other indicators, or are these the only indicators that the department did not perform well in? So honorable member, here we were looking strictly at the MTSF targets. So there may be other indicators that within the APP of the National Department and the annual performance report, they may have other indicators. And in the main, those are the indicators that we would then audit as the auditors of the National Department And the outcomes that I've touched on or spoken to would then relate to those specific indicators for the department. And yes, there are indicators where they've achieved and the others that they didn't really perform well in. But this specific section that we talked to, is there a sector level as a whole, as well as looking at what the provincial departments have done in ensuring that the MTSF targets are met? And also, we specifically looked at all of these MTSF targets and then identified these three as the key MTSF targets in relation to the mandate of the sector. Hence, my reporting on this slide only talks to those three. Your question around the improvement on consequence management, you would have noticed that I mentioned in in this section of the presentation where we are saying consequence management as a reportable a matter has come through in the audit report this year a lot. So you'll see that there is a regression. So in the past, we would have flagged it as something that would need to be done because we are now raising this irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So when we came back in the current cycle, we then looked at whether the consequence management, as was flagged previously, as a risk, was it implemented? And we found that in three out of the five entities that we've audited, this consequence management was not done, as required by the Treasury regulations. So the response then to that question,
recording in progress,
would be that there hasn't been an improvement in the implementation of consequence management. In fact, there is a regression based on the number of consequence management reports. Paragraphs in the audit reports. My understanding of the next questions were to the department, where the member was asking why supporting evidence that we were provided differed. And I think that came from the annual report. So and it also talked to the Zenzeleni indicator, but I think the member, at least the way I understood the question, I think the question was phrased for the department. I've also touched the department and how they respond to our findings. And then the UISP evaluation study, I think that's also for the department, because we would not have looked at it during the audit. And the status on the Human Settlement Development Bank, my understanding is that is also for the department, because only the department can provide status as to how far that process is, or NHFC, if not the department. What do we intend to do to ensure that all recommendations are implemented? As part of the audit process, other than the PAA implementation, we want to strengthen our messages when we deal with the auditees. We engage them not only during the audit process. So from the beginning, when we plan the audit, we try and engage as much as possible, as much as we can, with the entities. Where possible, because also if we can get an opportunity to review their action plans, which is one of the recommendations that we are making to the portfolio committee as well, that there should be a rigorous review of these action plans. Where they are available, we also look at them, and give and provide our inputs in an effort to ensure that they don't or they address our findings and our root causes that we would have identified. So we continue to have dialogue with management, and have workshops, for example, with the department. We've had numerous workshops where we go through, the crafting of or how their indicators have been crafted and how, they can improve so that the situation improves, when it comes to their indicators being smarter. So those are the things that we have in place, to ensure that our recommendations at least are implemented. And we do take the point that it has been a number of years where, we've given recommendations, but as we intensify our dialogue and engagements with management across the portfolio, we will be seeing some improvements. And the next question was about the bucket list system being completely eradicated. From a human settlement department point of view, we do not necessarily perform any work around the bucket system because we would not have come across any indicator or performance indicator that talks to that. My understanding with that would be more of a Department of Water and Sanitation matter, but I stand to be corrected, but from a human settlement, at least from an audit point of view, we would not have come across work that is done around the bucket system eradication. Indeed, when it comes to the internal audit, we have reported that there's issues at EAAB and that the internal audit was not appointed for 2 years running. And obviously, this will have an impact on the assessment of internal controls. So that we do take. However, for those where the internal audit has been established or is in place, we still raise the issue that they need to ensure that they look into these documents or these reports that are submitted for audit. So currently, there isn't adequate review of these reports that we audit, as well as the action plans again. So the internal auditors, they can do quite a lot in ensuring that they look into those matters before we come in as the auditors towards the end of the period. I'm just going through the questions that may be applicable to us in terms of the work that we've done. Why is the department not doing anything about the HDA? I think the department can come in there. Lack of coordination. Yes, indeed. I think this is again has been one of those recurring themes. And as I've mentioned, one of the ways to improve on this lack of coordination, at least from the work that we've done, is ensuring that there's customized indicators, because at least all spheres of government would be working towards a specific program, specific targets and indicators. That way it becomes easier as time goes to collate the information, because you'll be working with consistent information.
Recording in progress.
Consistent information across the government as well as across the provinces. So that area of customized indicators becomes very critical. And that is something that we are influencing the DG, you know, to ensure that as a sector, they get it right. And also, we also have discussions with the department to ensure that when they contract with the provinces, you know, the contracting is done in such a manner that it is aligned to what the department wants to achieve, or at least the sector wants to achieve over the five-year period. So we've also been talking around whether the contracting processes between the national department and the provincial department, you know, is effective enough. But I think there are concessions. So those are the discussions that we are having and influencing the DG and his team to try and get it right. We have raised root causes, and the question was, but who should be identifying these root causes? Should it not be management? And yes, management at least should be able to respond to them in instances where you know, the root causes or the findings have been identified. So we report them as the root causes to those that are charged with governance. And the expectation is that there are plans put in place to respond and address those root causes. So Honorable Member, indeed, it should be management that in instances where we have identified them, management then responds by coming up with adequate action plans in terms of addressing the issues. And I think my last question is whether the IGR issue should not be raised through the president. I think, Chairperson, that was your question. And I think it was directed to my colleagues from DPME, unless maybe I misunderstood your question, Chairperson. If I have missed anything, perhaps my colleagues can then assist me. Like I said, it was a long list of questions and trying to only address those ones that relate to our audit work. If I've missed anything, my colleagues can come in through you, Chairperson. And I know that Kourne, I've asked Kourne to then assist with the PAA question from Honorable Masood. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Londolozi. Let's give your colleague Kurunji.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So just on a question on the PAA and the need for coordination, I would like to confirm that from the officer side, we actually do coordinate a lot with other entities that is also doing investigations and follow-up. So in terms of the regulations for the Public Audit Act, we can refer material irregularities to public bodies. So we have identified a number of them, including like the SIU Public Protector, the MPA, there's a number, National Treasury. There's a number of public entities that we've and public bodies that we've identified, which we actually agreed on a way of working with. We have signed MOAs between us and them. There's regular engagements, and we are referring matters to them where we think they are better equipped or within their mandate to deal with certain matters than we are. We're also sharing information with what is called the Fusion Center. In the Fusion Center is like the SIU, SAPS, SARS, NPA, there's a whole lot of entities that is part of the Fusion Center. And typically what we would refer there is if we have findings on supply chain management, so that they can then also assess that information and then further investigate as deemed necessary. There was also instances of grant payments like the UIF and SASA findings that we've identified, which we've also shared with them. So we know this is only year three of where we are in the implementation of the PAA, but we are mindful and we're working to continuously strengthen that relationships and to share information, because we know that there's limited resources and it's better to work together than to duplicate the same extent of work. I think Londoloza covered most of the questions. I would like just to respond also to the fact that there is continuous recommendations and that we don't see progress. And then it was also, what are we doing differently? And I want to respond by saying that I think if everybody is working together, there will be a situation where there's improved outcomes, where there's improved service deliveries, where there will be houses delivered that is serviced, that can be occupied by citizens, where they can benefit, you know, a sustainable house and a decent house where they can live in. And in saying that, I mean, I'm referring back to the PFMA and the role that is given and the mandate given to an accounting officer, where he or she must make sure that there is internal controls, preventative controls, that where there is irregular expenditure identified, if there's a clear instruction to say there must be investigation, there must be consequence management, people must be held accountable. So the responsibility is starting there, where there is findings and where there is control weaknesses that has been identified. It must start with the accounting officer or the accounting authority to make sure that the tone is set within that entity or within the department where there is a culture of accountability. That is followed by the minister's oversight role, which is equally important in terms of monitoring and making sure that there is follow-up and oversight being provided at an executive level. And then from where we're sitting, we'll also appreciate the support from the portfolio committee in terms of the role and mandate that is being given to a portfolio committee to make recommendations, to make inquiries, follow-ups. I think from a portfolio committee side's follow-up, it will really assist us in making sure that there's a holistic follow-up process on the recommendations that is being made. I mean, it will be appreciated if the portfolio committee can, for instance, ask to see action plans, to ask follow-up and progress on disciplinary steps that needs to be implemented, where there is, you know, these targets that we are saying, if we add it up for the 9 provinces, it doesn't even add up to what the national department is aiming to achieve. So the portfolio committee can ask to see in the beginning of the year, how does these 9 provinces targets add up to support what national department is aiming to achieve? And then through the quarterly report oversight meetings, then to keep track of the progress, so that at the end of the day, there is success from the sector side on delivering the houses, which is a key initiative, which is a key priority and critical to the citizens to achieve. So I really think if everybody is working together and everybody is talking about the same things and following up on the same things, there will really be traction and we will be able here to sit here in a year or a couple of years' time saying there was really a change in the performance of the human settlements portfolio. Thank you, Chair. I think I can then hand over to the DPME DG. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Kuronchi. Can we then have a DPME?
Okay. Thanks once again, Chairperson, honorable members. I will be, and not repeat some of the questions and answers that have come up. Now, let me start with what Honorable Tsegi raised about impact. What is clear to us, Chairperson, is that we want to move towards that direction where we need to focus on impact. And that in the main entails engaging with the beneficiaries of our programs so that we also hear from the beneficiaries their own experiences. But what is very clear is that before we can do that, we need to be satisfied that implementation is happening. And that is quality implementation, because we can't assess impact, I mean, when we are not doing well in terms of implementation. So that is where we are at this point in time. Now, we will be releasing a midterm review or report of this current administration sometimes next year. And in that report, that's when we are going to go deeper into assessing the actual impact. So what we're doing at this point in time, and mindful that impact is very important, is to make sure that departments are delivering. And that is what we're preoccupied with. Now, moving to Honorable Powell's questions, which flow from this, is what are we doing? What are we going to do to make sure that we improve the delivery that is going to consequently lead to impact? We are now working on the plans for the next financial year. And we are paying attention to detail that departments must not bring new targets. We are in the middle of the current administration. And what we want to do is to make sure that there are no new targets that are introduced. I mean, we all say that we have limited resources. But when it comes to planning, we come with many targets. So we want the targets that we have, the issues that we have raised here, to continue to be at the core of the planning going into the next financial year, so that we can track those issues over a period of time. So that's one issue that we are going to pay attention to as we plan for the next year. The second issue is around strengthening the performance management system, starting with that of ministers and of course that of the HODs. A lot of work is being done by ourselves and DPSA to make sure that there are consequences. Now, we can only talk about consequences when we have a robust performance management system of ministers and DGs. And given time, we can also share with you our own impression. We have just done an assessment now of the performance of ministers, which were submitted to the president. We're submitting that information to the president so that the president can also have a sense of the state of performance of ministers. We are also doing everything possible to make sure that all outstanding issues pertaining to the performance of DGs also get resolved, so that we can come to you and also talk about the key principles in the different institutions, their own performance. We will take this report also to the meeting of the minister and the MECs, so that we can share with them, you know, and raise our issues. And that will be escalated by the office of our minister. As far as cabinet is concerned, 2 days ago, we met with all the DGs in government. We presented the current state of performance of the whole of government to the DGs as part of the process of going to cabinet, to go to cabinet and indicate that this is what we see in terms of performance of departments, and with serious recommendations, which may also include consequence management at that level if there is no delivery. So that work is ongoing. So, Chair, to your question, we syndicate these reports. We present to many, like the AG does, to many platforms. And now, increasingly, we are asking that the higher structures must also implement consequence management, because as you may be aware, even unlike the AG, DPME does not have legal instruments or that we can, you know, impose certain consequence management where there is no performance. And I think we must come to terms with this reality that we are dealing with a department that is merely facilitative. We are addressing this matter of giving DPME some legal teeth. So when we come to Parliament, because at least you do have some kind of leverage, at least from a legal point of view, We rely on you and others to then take up the reports that we present here. Other than that, we don't have any legal kind of recourse that we can institute as the PME. So we rely on those that we present to. The issue of title deeds has been overplayed in this meeting. We raised it in Cabinet Lekutla also some months ago, that it is a problem that if unlocked, we can see many South Africans becoming part of the economy. So what we're going to do, as indicated in our report, we are going back to this issue, which will involve even intense frontline monitoring. We'll send people to go and camp wherever they need to camp to see what it is that makes it difficult for us to deal with this issue. I mean, we're still talking about pre-1994 title deeds. You know, some of the beneficiaries have died, they've moved on, passed on to other people, and all those associated issues. So, Chair, we get the question. It's clear that from the line of questioning, the committee want us to really zoom into this issue in particular, and that's what we're planning to do. Broadly, on the issues raised by Honorable Mokoto of when do we monitor the performance of departments, this is an ongoing exercise, and we're saying to departments, the issues that are raised here and also in the engagement with the portfolio committees do help to give a sense of what must also be prioritized, because it starts with our ability to prioritize in government amidst that we have limited resources. And what we see, Chair, generally from departments is that there is a tendency to want to do many projects. And I will hazard a guess as to why that is the case. So if you have a department with six branches or six DDGs, when we plan, we want to accommodate everyone, even when we have limited resources, as opposed to saying that given the resources that we have, this is what we can do at any given point. And we are at pains as DPME to say that the structure of government must not dictate how we plan, how we approach planning, so that everyone is happy. But we must be guided by the object of change, which is to empower the citizens. So we are working on that, and we've committed to Cabinet that this year, before APPs are submitted to yourselves in Parliament, they will be submitted to, so we'll do an analysis so that we take it to the President and say, President, this is the situation. This is what ministers and departments are planning to do, so that even before the APPs are tabled before you, then the highest echelons of power in the state has a sense of the kind of things that departments are deciding to do. So we continue with evaluations on our side. We have limited resources, but we identify key projects. And we also do case studies, like we were trying to share one of those with yourselves, which points to some kind of challenges here. Then on the question of the budget system, we are reporting on this in another report that is going to Cabinet, which we can share with the committee. But as indicated by the AGSA, it may be located in another priority or another department. But we have picked up, in fact, the report that we presented to the DGs 2 days ago may suggest that the budget systems may be on the increase, because as you have new informal settlements, you should expect that is going to be the case. So the report that we've shared with the DGs suggests that the budget system may be increasing instead of reducing in South Africa. Lastly, we do intervene with departments, and we ask departments also to talk to us whenever there are challenges, so that we can pick up some of these challenges and then help see if in some cases we can advise them to come back to you to make changes to certain plans. But we don't want to make that easy, Chairperson, and particularly in areas where ministers change and there are new ministers, there will always be that a tendency to want to change the plans that already exist of government. We don't want to make that easy to change government plans, because otherwise will change every time when there is a new minister. So even now, what we're doing as DPME, we've asked our minister to allow us to go and meet with the new ministers so that we can take them on board in terms of their performance, but also those of their departments, to avoid a situation whereby the ministers will want to pick up the winners against the plan that exists in the form of the MTSF. So I've noted one or two issues, Chair, that given time, maybe early next year, we can come and present on very specific issues. And I have noted that of the title deeds, that it be presented as a standalone issue so that all of us can go into great details on how we can unlock that opportunity for the sake of the people who need to be part of the economy. So Chair, I hope I've done a justice, mindful of your time in putting it together, quite a number of issues together. But if we need to be specific on some of the issues, then I can be guided. But I think we have done our best to cover all the issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. Any addition from your team? If there is something that they feel you've left out?
Yes, Chair, with your permission, I'll ask Kifilwe to come on board if there are issues that I didn't deal with. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. It's Kifilwe. DG has covered all the issues. Thank you.
Chairperson?
Okay. Thank you very much, Auditor General and the DPME. Honourable members, any follow up on the Auditor General and planning and monitoring?
Yes, Chairperson, I would like to make a follow up.
I see the hand of Honourable Amber Powell, Emma Powell, and then. Honorable Mike Masuta, and then Honorable Mokoto. I don't see your hand, but I heard your voice.
Question of clarity to the AG. Just in the presentation that we were sent, the BRRR audit report, or the presentation, the summary version, let me just find it. On page 5, there's a little footnote that says that section 4.3 entities are not included in the audit outcomes, and then it's the SHRA, the HDA, et cetera. But then if we go on to page 8, and I noted in the deliberations and the responses as well that there were references made to the HDA, I just want to get clarity, because when we had the audit report for the HDA last year, it was undertaken by private independent auditors, and it was noted that a special request had to be made to the AG for them to audit the HDA. So it's noted in this presentation that it's a section 4.3 entity, but then why on page 8 is there the Housing Development Agency tag? If I can just, and excuse my ignorance, I did miss the AG's presentation this morning because I had load shedding. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Mokoto. Honourable Masuta, and followed by Honourable Mokoto.
Chair, I've lost the sound from your side. I'm not sure if you can hear me from your side.
We can hear you. Proceed.
Are you still able to hear me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you, Honorable Masuta.
All right.
Proceed.
No, Chair, firstly, the point around a comment with regard to the work in the presidency, which sought to bring together all state entities. I recall even us at Justice participated around dealing with the land question in its fullness and with all its multifaceted complexities. because the AG talks, or the DPME, I can't recall, talks of the department committing to only start a more coordinated kind of approach in the next financial year. The question really was, firstly, any remarks on the work that was already initiated, which was triggered by the Section 25 initiative on the parliamentary side, and on the government side, there was this exercise where even a committee of experts was put together and even reported. I didn't hear any comment on that. But the second one, the Auditor General is saying they never made findings against any of the entities with regard to the portal not working at some point, resulting in them in the department not being able to publish tenders on the portal, or some of the entities, or one of the entities claims that one of the findings around procurement related to this issue, and that they had to clarify that it was not within their competence. Maybe when the department comes back on the issue, they will clarify as to why did they believe that there was a finding on that issue against them when the Auditor General says otherwise. I'm sure the chair would recall this point. And I hear the feedback on the amended PAA and a more coordinated response on the part of the AG, working with the other entities and so on. But I feel that the response is too generalistic. Maybe through some other mechanism, we would be able to, maybe we should check with SCOWEC, to which the AG reports, as to concretely what have been the achievements in this coordinated response. Because my sense of it is like saying, well, we have started talking to others and we are coordinating, but what has been the outcomes out of that, given the fact that the new PAE was specifically to cure a defect or a gap in law where the AG felt that they were toothless. They just made findings and people just acknowledged and moved on. There was no consequence arising out of those findings. So I wasn't entirely satisfied with the response there. The whole issue of the example that I gave of the of SASSA and the social assistance program having been consolidated into a single national program, where the right of access to social assistance was a centralized delivery responsibility, as opposed to the disaggregation down to each province having to deal with it in a piecemeal way, was merely to give you an example that actually it is possible to come up with a dispensation in responding to Chapter 2 of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, obligations, especially under socioeconomic rights, given the fact that housing is one of them. A dispensation that ensures that there's universal standard setting through a single policy and legal framework that ensures equitable delivery of housing across provinces throughout the country. And somehow I feel that this effort is far from even being initiated. And that explains why in certain provinces, monies are not spent, they are taken back to treasury year after year. This explains why provinces would choose to do one thing, municipalities would choose to do another, and nobody has respect for a national response to this dire need for a constitutional obligation. So in a sense, maybe the question there is to both DPMA and Auditor General. When you evaluate compliance, do you also take account of all these constitutional court judgments which have set out clear obligations, especially around implementation of socioeconomic rights and other rights? Or do you simply look at the act, you interpret it as it is without reference to obligations that arise out of court judgments, and then you decide whether a department has complied? Because even the issue of setting of targets, performance targets by departments, where it is left entirely up to a department to define what their legal and constitutional obligations are effectively in the drafting of the APPs. Basically, I believe that they're being left off the hook, because it should not be up to the discretion of any or every department as to how they craft their performance targets. They should craft their performance targets against the NDP, which is the overarching national policy framework, the Constitution, in particular the Bill of Rights, and other applicable legal and policy instruments which are in place, and whether their targets meet those standards or not, including the MTSF. Whether their targets meet those standards or not should be a factor in determining the adequacy of those targets. It shouldn't be a question of saying, well, we gave you a blank check to write your own targets. You have failed to achieve your own targets, even when you have written those targets yourself. I think it's letting them off the hook. So I just want clarity on some of those issues. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Makgotho.
Thank you, Chairperson. I didn't hear any response on the following. How do you intend addressing the human settlement patterns which remain inequitable and dysfunctional with the form and location of land developments? The next one is, how are you going to ensure that planned evaluations do not have a negative impact? And when are you going to address underperformance of programs and some problematic systemic issues? And the last one is that one of lack of forward
planning by provinces. How is DPME going to address that problem? Thank you.
DPME and the Auditor General, Honorable Sekhwai, is it the old hands or you're raising to make follow-up?
Just one thing, Chair, thank you. I hear all has been my cry that AG and DPME, they do give themselves opportunity to really go back on the action plans that are put in place so that they assist. I hear that and I appreciate that, you see, I appreciate that. I think we should strengthen that even within the department, that it should not be you who calls on them. They should call on you when they've got a session that they are planning for the annual report, so that if they're not planning for the annual report, when they've created their action plan, after you met with them, they must be able then to present to you so that you help, you assist, you support them. I appreciate that. I hear the response from the gentleman. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, AG and the DPME. If we can respond with the 9 minutes that we have so that we can go for lunch and come back at 3 o'clock, we're starting the other meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Honorable Member Powell, indeed, I did mention that HDA is a Section 43, which we have opted out of auditing it ourselves, and it is indeed still audited by a private firm. However, I also then explained that we've included this slide 8 in the presentation purely because of what you mentioned, Honorable Member, that last year there was a special report, request that the audit for HDA be presented here in this committee, as well as also subsequent to that, there was a request by SCOPA for us to present the issues at HDA. But unfortunately, that meeting had to be postponed literally on the morning of that meeting. So it couldn't take place. And hence, we then felt that for this particular session, let's have the slide, despite it not being audited by ourselves, just to give an indication of what's happening to at HDA since the last session that we had come to present. The issue of the bid being advertised on the government portal, I think indeed, Honorable Member, perhaps if the department, we will be part of the meeting for us to get a sense of which of those entities had mentioned that, because I also just checked quickly my notes in terms of the SEM processes, and I still couldn't find one where we specifically raised and elevated to the audit report the issue of bids being advertised in the portal. If we had, we would have limited it to the management report, not the audit report. When it comes to the indicators, Honorable Masuta, indeed, we do look at the legislation that is applicable to the department and all other entities that we audit. So we look at the requirements of that legislation and look at the indicators and including the constitution as you mentioned. So one of the things that we then assess is all the indicators that are based on the mandate of the department or the public entity, and that mandate would come from all the legal statutes that are applicable to that particular entity. And we'll look at the mandate and then focus our audits on those particular programs and indicators that are based on the mandate of the entity. I think those were the follow-up questions, Chairperson, that relate to ourselves. I don't know if Kone wants to also just touch on the response around the PAA, which perhaps was the honourable member felt it was too generic. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks, Londa Loza. If I can just add on the PAA, so we are currently busy with our general report, and we plan to table it by the 8th of December. Included in the general report that we will table will be detail on MIs that we've identified, the progress that has been made. So there will be much more detail and specifics in our general report that will be tabled soon. I think Honorable Masuta also asked about the projects from the presidency and the previous question to say there would have been an expectation that these would have been flagged in our presentations. I think it's important just to appreciate that in terms of the audit process, we would have been limited to the audit on the financial statements, scoped in compliance that we audit, and then performance information. And in the absence of these initiatives being part of the APP, and we wouldn't have audited those. If we identify findings, we would have identified root causes, which we would have confirmed with the department. And the unavailability of land was not necessarily one of those root causes that has been identified. And therefore, we wouldn't have had scope to then bring that into our presentation for this round. The last thing that I just want to add is in my previous response in terms of the recommendations and the call for action from all role players, I realized I've omitted in terms of the PAA, DGDPME did mention that we do have that powers on our side, but I just want to re-emphasize the fact that in approving the PAA, the intention was never that we will take away any of the powers or, you know, supersede any of the powers that sits with an accounting officer or accounting authority, executive, or the portfolio committee. It is but a tool within government, and that is within our mandate, but it can't be seen as the only resolution to make sure that there's accountability in government. So I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you very much, DG, the PME. DG, planning and monitoring and evaluation.
Afternoon, Honorable Chair.
Oh, thank you. Yes, Kifue, proceed.
Yes, I don't see DG responding. I will use the last 2 minutes to respond on the human settlement patterns and location of projects. The priority development areas in the current MTSF was introduced to address specifically these human settlement patterns. And in these areas, they are actually taking place or situated in well-located within the cities. And no other development that will be approved taking place outside the priority development areas. Then in terms of the systemic issues, we conduct evaluations as well as the policy review, where reviews where we work together with the department after we've identified those programmatic challenges with the implementation. Then the forward planning, DPME, we've just introduced the national annual strategic plan, where we are bridging between the APP and the MTSF targets, but with special focus on the fiscal development programs. Lastly, on how we are doing what called conducting evaluation. When we do the evaluations, we get to the in-depth of the problem, also triangulate with the data that we have received. That is, in short, what we are doing under evaluations. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, DPME Auditor General, for the interaction with the committee. Indeed, we have been empowered to engage with the department. And as we have noted your recommendation for further oversight on the department. Thank you very much. You are being released.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Bye.
Thank you,
Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members.
Thank you, Tata. Go ahead.
Honorable Members, when we started, we have adopted the agenda. But in the agenda, we had a presentation of Auditor General on the planning and monitoring. And department in the afternoon even adopted that we'll start at 3 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock. Honorable Powell has asked questions about the reports, which he said he has not received it. I don't know because the report in one meeting, the report was presented to us on the finding of the NHBRC on the project for Limpopo, and assumingly that members had that presentation. The second issue is that she indicated that other committees have been meeting and we have not been met, and we have not been meeting. The then committee of Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation has been following its own program until the president has separated the two, which the Rules Committee, which guides the functioning of Parliament through the Speaker in terms of establishment of committees, took a decision that this committee will be divided, and it was then divided accordingly. That's why today we call ourselves a Human Settlement without Water and Sanitation. So the issue that we have not been convening the meeting, we would not have convened the meeting after the Rules Committee has taken decision to divide the committees. You've seen that Water 2 could not meet because there was no, at that time, there was the Rules Committee had agreed to divide the two portfolio committees. Therefore, that's why we went into the process of elections of the new chairperson of the established portfolio committees. So that was the reason. And you'd recall when we were separated, the program that has been adopted was to look at the SDA was supposed to come back, but unfortunately we are not running the program of Parliament. The Rules Committee and the Chief Whip's Forum, which your Chief Whip sits, decided on the alteration of the program, and they altered the program of the Parliament, which is in their mandate of the Programming Committee and the Rules Committee. So which one chairperson could not actually go out of that, because we are guided by the Rules Committee, which is chaired by the Speaker, and the Chief Whip's Forum, which determine the workings of the Parliament. So that is the reason why the meeting was not called at that time. Thirdly, is that it was you, Honorable Member Powell, who, when we requested the space to meet outside the program, when there was sitting of Parliament, you have rejected that, and Chief Whip's Forum raised it with the Chair of Chairs that there are other committees that calls meetings during the plenary, and therefore it should not happen, and that is why we could not even apply to meet outside the allocated slot as a committee. So it was we are guided by the Chair of Chairs and the Rules Committee and Programming of Parliament. We don't just decide to do things on our own. That's why there was an alteration of Parliament programs. So with that explanation, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. We'll reconvene.
Honorable Powell, may I respond? Just on one.
No, I don't need your response, Honorable Member.
Yes,
the meeting is adjourned. Honorable Members, the meeting is adjourned. We'll reconvene at.
Chairperson, your totality.
3 o'clock.
Chairperson,
Honorable Powell, the meeting is adjourned.
Incorrect, and then adjourn a meeting.
We are convening at 3 o'clock and meeting with the department. Thank you very much.
You know that you are on a thin rope already, Chair.
You are.
I'll take this at 3 o'clock.
You know that you're on what?
A thin rope. Walking a thin rope.
What does that mean?
It means that she's received numerous warnings from numerous seniors about her conduct in chairing this committee.
You will have to discuss that with her outside us if it's not coming from you.
Recording stopped.